Sound of Hockey episode 268. We're calling this one the Jared McCann episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, he had 268 face-off losses in the inaugural season. What do we think about face-offs?
I have a thought.
Oh, well, Allison Lucan.
Whoa, who's that?
Yeah. It's like the bat signal.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to talk about face-offs,
yeah, that's right.
They don't matter, John.
God, they matter.
So,
you know where I care about them the most is on
defensive zone face-offs on the penalty kill. I know.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm aware. Do you know I asked Matty Beniers what stat should be tracked that isn't tracked? And he said face-off should be tracked on two tiers, what the center does and then what the supporting players do.
So that I understand.
The stat is flawed. And the last time I checked, on December 14th, so prior to the extended point streak.
Yeah.
In the 15 games that the Kraken have lost the face-off battle this season, points percentage, 0.467. Okay?
Okay.
In the 15 games the team has won the face-off battle, 0.367 points percentage.
Mm. Okay.
So
that means they're doing worse? I don't understand how
they,
numbers
they
work.
They do worse when they win the face-off battle.
Okay, that's how numbers work.
Just pointing
how
that
about,
out.
How about during,
it's almost like they
during
don't
a penalty,
matter.
During a penalty kill in the defensive zone?
Well, we can go to the penalty kill and we can say regardless of face-off
right.
battle.
Now, let's I put a pin that. In that. This is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown.
I know exactly where
Darren
you're going. I can do
Fun
that.
Fun Brown on the axe, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL to Seattle on the Twitter.
And we're also joined by Curtis Izaki. Hello, Curtis.
Hi, everyone. Deep Sea Hockey on the Twitter.
And we're thrilled to be welcoming back into studio.
Are we?
Our best friend. It started off a little bit contentiously here. Our best friend of the pod, Allison Lucan. She's playing hurt, too. Not only is she here in studio with us, but she's playing hurt. She's got a little bit of a sore voice. Do you have a sore voice? Is that what you'd say?
I would say that the Flyers left town and they took some of my voice with them.
Yeah.
But I am delighted to be here. I love you guys. This is an awesome show and you are all great people. So thank you for having me.
You know
me.
What I really like having you here?
You see how I just cut off my compliment?
I was just going to say, I really...
You don't need to, like, we already know how great
that.
We are, so
thank
we don't need to keep getting boosted.
What I love having you is like you're able to like kind of talk us off the ledge a little bit during a losing streak, right? And we're not having that right now.
That's
so this
true.
Is like a
so
new...
should I just go or are we
no
done?
I mean I just don't know what to expect. It's gonna be a little crazy.
Yeah,
I think
it's like there's too much damn positivity right now.
Yeah,
which is
I'm here to stomp
yeah.
all
yeah bring
that
us down bring
perfect.
Us down
perfect good, good. We start with our 5-star reviews. That's a thing we like to do here on this podcast. Allison, not sure if you are aware,
avid listener.
Yep. Yanni's Suffocating Pestilence has reviewed us before, so it's an updated 5-star review. Actually, both of these are updated, but that's okay, we allow it. It says, love the player bingo episode. I don't remember doing that. Tons of
yes.
fun. Player bingo.
That was the player. Remember, who would you pick for?
Oh,
like that represented like
Patreon.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. The yeah, yeah.
That was the Patreon.
Draft. The
yeah.
Okay. Question for the team: as a newish hockey fan, I would love to. Yeah, actually, to hear some of that extra content, you got to get on the Patreon. Patreon.com/soundofhockey. So thanks for bringing
that. Who won that player draft? By the way,
Curtis.
I'm curious.
You killed it.
I'm just. Oh, was, oh,
Curtis
that's interesting.
Did, and
oh.
I took second. I think right.
Yeah.
Where did you come in on that one, John? If I took second, Curtis took first.
Bronze medal.
There were only three of us.
Bronze
oh,
medal. I got the bronze. Yeah,
okay. On the podium.
Podium. That's all
yeah,
I aim for.
Podium
yeah,
finish
yeah.
for John. How about that? Anyway, I love the player bingo question. I would love to understand the quote-unquote structure of hockey more. I heard a ton about the Kings 1-3-1 setup and how that prevents a lot of zone entries. I imagine that's one example. I purchased Jack Hahn's hockey. Is that how you pronounce it?
Jack Hahn's
yeah. hockey tactics, which outlines the tactics each NHL team uses, but it didn't help me much. I think it's too advanced. Okay. Would love to hear more about the Kraken's quote-unquote structure/tactics/strategies with as much detail as you guys can muster, perhaps some video breakdowns over in the members section. Alternatively, how could one learn more about this? I would encourage you, first off, to go search for, I forget what you called it last year, Curtis, on soundofhockey.com. Curtis wrote way, way too many words. about the structures that the Kraken were using. Now, I think things have probably altered slightly.
That was like inaugural season.
I think that was inaugural.
Yeah, that was inaugural.
Yeah, that was
inaugural.
Was
it?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that was two years ago. Yeah.
Well, nonetheless, I mean, same coach, so the systems haven't changed that much. But.
Yeah.
Something's have changed.
Yep.
I do like the idea of doing something, maybe a Patreon thing. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think that stuff is really. Yeah. I think that stuff is really interesting and fun to talk about.
So
it's
maybe
a little
what
hard
we could do, you could update those stories and say, hey, here's how it's changed. This is what they used to do. This is what they do now.
You're getting a little glimpse of Darren, the editor here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. specific to the 131, though, the 131 is usually, I think it's also oftentimes known as the neutral zone trap. I think they're either similar or they're basically the same. Do you agree, Allison?
Well, a little bit. And yeah. You can look it up because a fan did clip together last season. When I was between the benches, they clipped together a whole explanation that JT and I did in game of the 131. Yeah. And then JT comes in and how you cut through it and how you can kind of solve it. Mm-hmm. But if I can recommend two other books that I recommend to everyone, there's a great book called Hockey Plays and Strategies that I still use. That's kind of the basics. And then there's an awesome book called Tape to Space by Ryan Stimson, who is kind of next tier discussion. So those are two very accessible books. And also on Analytics with Allison, we also have systems breakdowns from time to time.
So there's a few ways to learn. That's great. Yeah, and if you think about the 1-3-1, it's one player. It's just like the formation that they're in the neutral zone. So they'll dump the puck in. Nobody really chases it. They stay with one player kind of up near the blue line, three players across the red line usually, right? And then one more player at the blue line. And my understanding of it is, and you probably have more insight on it than I do after that conversation that you and JT had, but my understanding of it, the way that I was taught about it growing up, was the first guy was there to push the puck carrier towards one side or the other, right? And then they're
to
basically
dictate, yeah.
Yeah, right. Tell him which way he has to go once he's
or
made
her.
Them. Once they've made that decision, then the next line is there to kind of suffocate them. Suffocate. Mm-hmm. So is
and
that
what was
right?
It is. And what was really interesting about LA is that if you could get a pass through, your success rates were through the roof, which was really interesting. So
interesting. Good question there. And hopefully that was helpful to you. And thanks for the 5-star review. TK Hogg says, K. Says, hey guys, I'm the one in your first year who put O in the review title and K in the body of the rating when you challenge listeners to write the
shortest
review.
Yeah.
I've listened to every Sound of Hockey episode since November 2018 when it was announced that a team was coming to Seattle. I was super excited when my distant cousin Carson was playing part of the Kraken's first season. I assume that's Carson Coolman because it's with a K. Carson
not
with a K.
Not Twarinski.
With a K. With a K.
He didn't play.
I don't
see.
Carson Twarinski was with a
With a C.
C.
C. Yeah. Yeah.
This is with a K.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's Carson Coolman.
Carson. We like Carson.
Yeah,
Coolman.
We're pro Carson.
Pro
Coolman.
Carson Coolman.
Yeah.
That's right.
Duck Goose.
I started.
That's right.
This is going to go on forever.
This is going to be the longest
no,
recording ever.
I know what Curtis is doing, and I don't like it. So. I started watching the Minnesota North Stars back in the 1980s and got back into the NHL in 2008 with the Blues. Also, the episode with Shifty was awesome. Actually, I can't think of any episodes that weren't good. Keep up the great work. Godspeed, Andy. P.S. Darren, get the puppy. That's from Todd Coolman, it says.
In 5 years.
5 years. Yep.
5 years. Yep.
The clock's ticking. It just restarts every day. That's the thing. So
I have some questions.
About the puppy?
No, not really.
Okay.
For Allison.
So off the rails. Yes.
I know, way out of order. But what about systems on zone entries?
Like the offensive
defensively.
Mindset?
Defensively,
defensively on the... So that Hockey Plays and Strategies book is really excellent for that. Like it will talk about all the swing plays and all the forechecks and all of those kinds of things and what you're trying to do.
Does it feel like the Kraken have allowed the zone entries on penalty kills pretty easily these days? How would I word that? How do I?
Well,
it feels
I think
like
you take "feel like" out of your vocabulary first.
Well,
because I don't think she believes in that. Because it's
well, that's I'm trying to see if the data backs that up.
Mm. Well, let's put a pin in that.
Like
I'm going to look it up. Let's keep talking.
It's
look
pinned.
It up. It's pinned.
It's been little pinned.
It's a little pinned.
It's going to take me just a few quick seconds here because I was looking this up in other things today. But
so, while you're doing
what a resource.
That, I'll just go ahead and say it. This is a great episode. It's going to be a great episode.
Yes.
We have some quick hit interviews that I took around the Winter Classic. I did two very short interviews with Joey Decord and Yanni Gord, that rhymes, before the Winter Classic. They both had a big impact on the game. And then we're recording Wednesday night, I interviewed Tomáš Tatar after practice today. So there's some good stuff in there. Very short little interviews all back to back. And of course, like I said, we're very excited to have Allison here with us tonight. But we're feeling
vibes
okay
are,
right
vibes
now.
Are pretty
vibes
good.
Are
yeah.
vibes are okay. Yeah. yeah. Okay vibes. So let's first talk about the team has this game against Philadelphia, which felt a little trappy to
yep.
me, right? Because Philadelphia's had a very good season. They were coming off of a win, I believe, the night before in Vancouver. Does that sound right?
Yep.
And so, you know, they're on second of back-to-backs, but also the Kraken are coming up on this huge tentpole event that's getting all this extra attention. They're all getting pulled in all these different directions to do additional media stuff. And, you know, that's the thing. They've all got family, friends coming in. So you knew that they're starting to think about that. And I asked Oliver Bjorkstrand in pregame that day, you know, how do you guys focus on this when you know that you have this next thing coming? And he said something like, well, I really haven't thought about it at all. And it sounded very genuine. He was like, I'm just thinking about tonight's game. Like, that's really my thing right now. Tomorrow we'll start thinking about the Winter Classic. And I think he was being genuine, you know, like, I don't think it really had even set in like what was about to happen for, at least for him. I don't know if you can say that for the whole team, but then they did come out and play well. I mean, it was a tough sledding game against the Philadelphia Flyers, as you expect it to be with a tort sled team. Allison, you know anything about tort sled teams?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is that a fair assessment that generally?
They are actually the number one team this year in defensive plays per game.
That makes sense.
So, yes. Yeah. Also, credit to assistant coach Bradshaw, mm-hmm. part of their defensive mastermind.
Okay. I'm sure he's listening.
Always.
Kraken allowed the first goal.
That's right. And then, yeah, and they couldn't get a ton going, but they stuck with it. Get a power play goal from Vince Dunn relatively early in the third period. And then Justin Schultz gets the game winner in overtime. And it was a fun one because he had been kind of the guy that got pulled out of the lineup for Riker Evans, right? And so he goes in that night, gets a big deciding goal. And then as a result, they sent Riker Evans down to the AHL after that game. So maybe
the
not
Davy Jones
as
hat
a result.
Maybe not in direct.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
I know.
Got the Davy Jones hat as
he
well.
He did. But yeah, it was a good game and a really nice lead up to the Winter Classic, right? They come in on very high vibes, like riding high. 8-game point streak at that point. That was their fourth win in a row. And so it sets us up nicely for the Winter Classic, which it couldn't have gone better. On any facet of it, the festivities, the weather, the game itself, the Joey Decord show, it was perfect. I mean, it was perfect.
It was perfect.
It couldn't have gone better for the team, for the organization, for the NHL. I mean, it was
perfect.
The
place was packed, too. Yeah. Packed.
Except for the chant.
The chant.
Drop the puck. Or whatever they get. Was it drop the puck?
Drop the puck, I think.
3-2.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was some confusion there. But that's the only thing. That and Joey, and I said Joey Decord not
that was not the
goal.
Kraken. This was a league run.
Oh, that's right. Joey Decord not scoring the goal.
Joey Decord did not score. So.
And he looked like he had a chance to.
He did. So I tweeted this out. The Twitter intern tweeted this out, a video of the play that he was talking about, but he said he absolutely was planning to shoot the puck. Jack Eichel flipped a puck in on him, and he was going to try to catch it, drop it, and shoot it, is what he said. But it because he like flipped it, it took a weird hop, and he had to drop down to stop it in a butterfly. So that thwarted him. But if you look at it, like Eichel shoots it from outside the blue line. He had a good 20-foot gap when the puck got to him. If it had landed flat, he would have gone for it. Man. Could you imagine if he had scored a goal on that day in addition to him having a shutout? And this was also, 30 seconds or a minute after he had robbed Eichel with his best save of the day to preserve his own shutout. Oh,
lots of Joey chants. That was pretty sweet. What a game for him. Too.
What a game.
Yeah.
The festivities in general. So the breakaway event, I got to go to the breakaway and the fan village separately. I went to the fan village the day before the game. It was a little crazy over there because that was as the Seahawks game was getting out. I didn't go on the day of the game, but I heard it was pretty crazy as well. You
packed,
both have, I know, Allison, you have a source that said it's a little.
Sources say.
A little crazy over there.
A little crazy.
John, you went to it?
I went to it as well.
And the line was like way down the block, right?
Getting in was fine. It was literally two of those blocks down there, which are big blocks, but it actually moved pretty smoothly. That was fine. But the problem is once you're in there, all the cool stuff, like taking an accuracy shot or hardest shot, all those kind of activities, huge lines, and those don't move that fast.
Yeah.
So I didn't even bother with those.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a beverage or two at least?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not have a beverage until after the game.
Wow.
It's a little early for me. So
you know what they say.
Can't drink
all
day
if you don't start in the morning.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that before. Yeah. Not for me. I can't do it. I can't drink all day. That's fine. I'll tell you that right now.
That's fine. Well, especially, and I will say this, like sometimes if it's a game that you really want to pay attention to, even a couple beers for me can kind of like ruin that. If I really care to know what's going on. It worked out pretty well when we went to Vancouver, Curtis.
I mean, everything about that game worked out pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't make it over to the Fan Village pregame. I went to the breakaway event, which there was no line for that, and that was a pretty good time.
I liked it.
I got there in time for the concert. That was good. Met up with our NHL.com correspondent, Darren Brown, while he was on the job. It was fun.
I was. Well, they sent me over there. It was pretty cool. So I only knew this because John brought it up when we were talking to Steve Mayer on the 0.5 episode about the Head and the Heart's basis. And so I got over there to just like do a man on the street kind of a story for NHL.com. And just on a whim, I was like, you know what? Can I possibly talk to the basis? And they're like, oh, sure. And then that was just the coolest thing ever. He is the nicest guy.
Yeah.
And I asked him about wearing the T-Birds jersey on, it was David Letterman, not Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a pretty cool experience. So the whole thing, top to bottom, I mean, the stuff for me, even pregame, I thought was really cool. I had a great day. So, all right, let's do this. Before I say what some of the additional things were that like went on around the event, right? Like, let's just say, what was our favorite thing? Like maybe a game ops thing or a favorite moment or something like that. John, go for it.
I think the eating of the fish was pretty damn cool, honestly.
Which fish?
The actual fish.
The real fish being yeeted over the players as they entered the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty badass.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was awesome. Nobody got hit by a fish, which was good.
Yeah.
Jamie Oleksiak was ducking a little.
It was some of the footage after where the camera guy that was on the actual platform there, that looked pretty cool as Joey was kind of strutting and there's fish flying all over the place. I thought that was
Joey's
awesome.
Joey's just locked in.
Yeah.
And then eventually the camera makes it to Jamie Oleksiak, who's like, you know, in skates 7 feet tall, and the fish are like almost nailing him in the head. It was pretty funny. I enjoyed that. That's a good choice.
Well, what's yours?
I think I'll go with the team arrivals, the Kraken and the Filson gear, and then the Vegas as the Vegas Elvis. That was, I got a good chuckle out of both of those.
So
those were pretty fun.
I was there for that also. And I loved that, you know, people were kind of guessing like, oh, what are they going to be? And I was like, oh, Kraken got to be in the fishmonger gear for sure. Right. Yeah. And sure enough, they were, but you couldn't really see, like they had tinted windows on their buses. And then they got off and, you know, obviously you figured out when they get off the bus, but then Elvis, their Vegas team pulls up and you can very clearly see like the silhouette, right? And as soon as they pulled up, I'm like, it's Elvis, right? Like you could just tell because they had the sunglasses and the big hair. And yeah, that was really funny.
Did you know what the coaches were for the Kraken?
What they were? Was
they
it
were
like
dressed
a costume?
As something.
I said Yellowstone chic, but.
No, they were fishermen.
Fishermen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Outfitted by Filson.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
But it was like a Letterman jacket.
It was like a
jacket.
Certain era.
No, the Letterman was for the game. These were like nice, like dark wool with the Kraken insignia and the big brim hats.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a, so
just
that's,
offering some clarity. That's all.
No, it's.
I thought they looked good.
They looked great. I didn't know that they were fishermen.
Yes.
But
yeah.
They looked great. Okay. Yes. Thanks for that. Allison, what was your favorite moment?
Given what has already been selected.
You can double up. It's okay.
I will say, even though we've all been blessed here before, the anthem was just great. Because when you think about a national audience being exposed to the Kraken vibe, I thought that was perfect.
Yeah, that's true. That's
perfect. True.
So you
I got in a Twitter battle with some people who were like, that's not that. I'm like, please shut up.
Yeah.
Get angry about other things.
Yeah, please kindly. Please kindly go F yourself.
Well,
I have language. I mean, I didn't say it. That's what Allison
implied.
That's what Allison implied.
But yeah, I would agree with you. I think the anthem was, that was the biggest goosebumps of the day for me. When you factor in, not only was the kid just shredding on the guitar, but then the flyover was incredible. There were guys hanging from cables hundreds of feet in the air, pointing and waving at people. I think, were they from the Navy, right? Is that what I?
Yep.
Yeah. And there was definitely this moment where you had fireworks, you had people screaming, and this somebody who was sitting next to me was just like, yeah, I think hockey works in Seattle, you know? And I was like, yeah, this is an incredible scene right now. Like it was so cool. So yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to like think about the fact that everyone was giving him a hard time on Twitter because they were tweeting out pictures of the closed roof stadium the night before.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Who was? Hear me out.
Man, you guys.
Hear me out.
Still looking for this. True. Yeah, I believe you, but.
So the roof is open on the game day. It's a beautiful, perfect day. Could not have been better weather. And then the following day, it's raining all
pissing
day long.
Rain.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out perfectly. Everything just worked out as well as it could have gone. So what were you gonna say?
All right. So what do you think of Heart? Do you think that resonated, or is that like too old?
I thought they wailed.
That's a good thing?
Yeah. Okay. That's a good thing.
Okay. Yeah.
They didn't dolphin, they didn't seal, they wailed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved them, right? And I've always loved them. What about Sir Mix-a-Lot?
They should have used my suggestion.
Which was?
I like Big Pucks and I Cannot Lie, or Bowie Got Back.
I thought he was actually pretty good.
It was fun. Good hype, man.
Yeah, I thought it was like...
And he was having fun.
Yeah.
I would have liked to hear... I don't think it's quite as mainstream, but I would have liked to hear My Posse's on Broadway.
I would have too.
Yeah.
But what would you... You couldn't say that. You'd have to change those lyrics.
Why? My Posse's on Broadway?
Because we weren't on Broadway.
But it's like Seattle Broadway. It's like Seattle song.
I thought it was fine, regardless. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was good, so... But I was just wondering how it...
I also didn't know that song until I got to Seattle. So if you're thinking about, like, more of a mainstream... My Posse's on Broadway. I didn't know that song. So if you're thinking about a more mainstream, more national audience, maybe you don't want to go with the most Seattle-centric song you can think of.
I knew that song.
Okay, well...
You're one of us.
I don't know.
You're one of us.
I don't know what you want from me. Were we doing something there? Is Curtis supposed to say something or no?
No, we're talking about our favorite moments.
All right.
I was explicitly told I cannot speak, in fact.
No, that's false. So the game, Elli Tolvanen, Will Borgen, and Yanni Gourde each scored goals early in each of the three periods. So Tolvanen got him on the board pretty quickly. He tipped in a shot out of the air. It was a great goal. It was one of those, though, where you couldn't really tell it went in depending on where you were in the stadium. And he didn't. His reaction, too, because at that point I was out in right field and I moved around a lot during this game, but he, like, scored and then didn't put his stick up right away. He kind of skated to the corner and then did, like, a fist pump thing, and it just was, like, a nice delayed reaction that I felt was uniquely outdoor hockey, right? Where it was like, did he? Did he? He did! Like, that kind of a thing. So.
Totally. Even from my angle, Will Borgen's goal, I was, like, kind of looking straight at it, and it deflected off the goalie, and then went in. But from my angle, it looked like it deflected and went out. And so I was like, "Ah, oh, shucks." And then everyone was cheering, and I was like, "Wait, what's happening?"
Yeah,
it was great.
I like that you said, "Ah, shucks."
Ah, shucks.
Something you'd say in that moment. So, yeah. And then I guess I don't know. Do we need to talk about Joey Decord? Are we good on that?
He was fine.
Did he do anything?
Right. No, he's fine. I don't know.
He was fine.
Yeah. How were his numbers expected? Do you know?
Hold, please.
Sorry.
I'll tell you that his non-analytical numbers. He had 35 saves. Full shutout.
I thought that was one of his best games. Even I think his prior shutout like wasn't challenged as much, like because there were some grade A chances by Vegas, right? Particularly,
yeah, a couple by Eichel.
Eichel had two really good ones. Eichel also hit the post once, and I think Mark Stone hit the post once. So luck was on his side. But you know, it's one of those days, and I've talked about this.
That's what I say.
Know your angles, but I've talked about this many times, right? When you're feeling it, the puck hits you, and it finds ways to stay out of the net. Right. Versus when you're not feeling it, the puck finds ways through and you're like, how did I let that through? But this is one of those times like he is so hot right now. It's like that Joey is so hot right now. But yeah, like the puck is hitting crossbars. It's not going to the net. It's hitting a post and going off. So that's just how things are going. Do you have your stat that you're looking up? I'm here for you.
So according to SportLogic, which you can find in the app and on the website after every game in our post-game instant analysis, he prevented 2.1 goals more than he should have. And according to Evolving Hockey, he prevented 2.32 more goals than he should have for his best performance of the season.
Oh, John.
Yeah, look at that.
You dog.
Yeah.
Nice work, John. Congratulations.
Well, I think the team's been playing really, really good lately defensively. Mm-hmm.
The defense has been exceptional over the point streak. Like, significantly so by, like, cutting opportunities against in half. So not to take anything away from Joey, but there has been tremendous improvement in front of him as well.
And that is a great segue into our next topic on the show notes here, which is a shift in identity. It looked like Curtis wanted to say something, which is going to ruin the segue.
I will not ruin the segue.
I'd allow it if you have something to add.
I don't know if it's that good. Okay. Do you want to test it?
Let's check it out. We'll workshop it.
We're just going to check it out. So, Allison, the defense has been playing very well during the point streak. Can we attribute any of that to Joey Decord himself in terms of how he plays the puck?
It's an interesting question, and with what we can measure today, I don't think we can directly say so. Mm-hmm. But I think intrinsically what our eyes tell us is that as the defense is confident and more comfortable playing in front of him. And I've been in the room a couple times, walked in where he is talking to his defenders of like, here's how we're going to handle this situation. Here's how we're going to handle that. That I think it can breed more space for them to play, which allows them to then aggress more actively and more quickly when they stop a chance against, because they are confident in his play and know he can give them the puck farther out.
Mm-hmm. What I was going to say is...
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
This is going to be really good. I know where you're going.
So Hackstall was asked after that Winter Classic game if there's been a change in the identity of this team from last year to this year. And he gave a really, what I thought was a really interesting response. He said, no, the teams are definitely different. We recognized at some point, and I'm not quoting him directly here, this is paraphrase, but he said, we recognized that we weren't scoring like we were last year. We used to be able to just score our way to victory. We couldn't do that this year, so we had to kind of shift our mindset and start playing more on defense. So check in on soundofhockey.com over the next couple of days. I talked to several of the players about that shift today. And I think there's some really interesting stuff in there, but there certainly were some real conversations that were had behind closed doors, both amongst the players and amongst the whole team as a whole. They had a meeting after one of the games where they were like, hey guys, we need to be more accountable. We need to play more of a structured defense. And that really has been kind of the shift. So now what they're doing, I mean, I don't know how much they've like changed their tactics necessarily, but it's like it's defense first and they take the opportunities they can get and they go score, and they're doing that right now. They're getting those opportunistic goals, so they really have changed their style of play a bit, and it's obviously working very well. Now a big part of that is getting outstanding goaltending and playing with confidence in front of that goalie, but to your point, if the defense has been great during this time and the goalie has also been great during this time, that's a pretty good recipe for success. So sure enough, they have 9 straight games wins and 5 straight wins.
Hooray.
Hooray. That's fun.
Yeah.
Winning is fun.
It's more fun than the losing streak. That's for sure. Other notes, Kraken related notes. Anything else you want to say on the Winter Classic before we put a bow on that?
Kudos to everyone in the Kraken organization that made it happen.
Yeah.
Tremendous effort.
I sent a lot of texts the next day and just talking about what a great moment it was. And yeah, there's a lot of people that put work into that, but it's also all the groundwork to get this franchise to that point where they can put 47,000 people in a stadium. In all honesty, like, it's exceeding my expectations, this whole thing about how well Seattle's embraced hockey. It's pretty remarkable. And I think the team has a lot to do with it too. It's mm-hmm. not just hockey coming here, but huge amount of work being done by that team. So yeah.
I will say there are some pretty cool things on the, like, the family skate, right? Like Mr. Bonderman was out there.
Yep.
I mean, it was a cool event all around. John and I, we felt like the luckiest people in the world getting to skate on the ice before at the media skate. I mean, I've said it a bunch of times now to different people, but like being out there, I've done 100 open skating sessions, and typically I get bored after 2 minutes. You know, I could have been out there for 3 hours. Then
I think we stayed out to the
they called it, I was like, oh man, like it was so special and so unique. And so to have even just the smallest part in this weekend is, I know it was special. I'm never going to forget it. I was really, really proud to be a part of that. So yeah,
great to see a lot of. I ran into a ton of fans. Lots of hugs were given. It was just a great time all around for us.
For me, enjoying the games from a fan point of view, I mean, nothing, I feel like nothing in my mind will top the Vince Dunn home opener goal. And then Jordan Eberle in overtime, Game 4 against the Avalanche. Beyond those two, I think this game is right there in the top three of like Kraken events. Mm-hmm. That I think it was just an amazing event, just flawless all the way through. And I think there was something about it with the goals coming early in each of the periods, just kind of led to kind of a celebratory kind of feeling all the way through.
Yeah.
The fans were just content and happy, good weather, good vibes all the way through. What a day. What a day.
Even the sight lines, they were pretty good.
They were pretty good. I could notice that some, you know, like the front rows and the 100 level. Those folks
you couldn't
were standing.
See anything from down there.
Those folks were standing and probably still couldn't see.
Yeah.
But I was up in the 300 level. And from there, it was immaculate. I thought it was great. You were in the 200s.
I was in the 200s. Yeah,
it was pretty good from there too.
Excellent.
Yeah. I bounced around a little bit, and I think objectively, I would say 200 was about as good as you could have gotten. Because 100, even at the top levels, was a little low. Like this, it was like a little hard to tell what was going on. But 200, especially if you were like in that corner, kind of behind the bases, that was
exactly where I was.
Yeah, it was about as good as
not my first outdoor game.
Right. So. Right. It was. Who was that you was talking before we started recording about how crowded it was in the concourses?
Yeah.
It was hard to move around.
It was a little hard to move around, at least the 300 level where I was. And it made me think, you know, I've never experienced this at a baseball game. It made me realize there are like, you know, 18 breaks in a baseball game where, you know, not everyone's out at the same time. A hockey game, you know, your intermission breaks, everyone's out at the same time. It was a little difficult to get from one side of the stadium to the other, but that's a very minor thing in the grand scheme.
It's too popular. That's what you're saying?
It was too popular. Okay. It was too much fun.
Yeah.
It,
and the Mariners typically don't draw 47,000.
They can.
It has happened.
But it's the breaks, right? Yeah. Or baseball tends to be slower, so it paces a little differently. So.
Yeah.
All right. Now we've put a bow on the Winter Classic for now. There might be other things that come up, but who knows. Other Kraken notes. Riker Evans, I mentioned earlier, he was sent down after the Philadelphia game. I don't know. I didn't know how to take that. What did you think about that one, Allison?
I mean, I remember the last exhibition game that he played in, and I think Riker is going to be a talent in this organization for many, many years, without question. But at the end of that exhibition game, it got just a tiny bit rich for him as it got close, and I think he had a tremendous showing, and I have no issue if the development staff and if Ron and his team say, you've gotten this taste, you've come up. There are six very capable NHL veteran defenseman right now on the roster. Now go back, fill back up that tank, and get ready to come back up and push again. I mean, it's a long season. There's going to be injuries. Mm-hmm. But I understand why fans were kind of like, huh? But I also don't think it's ideal to be flip-flopping him in and out either.
And Justin Schultz doesn't deserve to sit
100%
in the press box.
100%.
So.
And I think that is where the Philadelphia performance factors in.
For sure.
I mean, I think he did. There's something about getting the OT winner, the Davy Jones hat, the team rallying around him, that maybe almost felt like it was a little difficult to kind of take him in and out of the lineup at that point. Maybe give Schultz another chance to establish himself every day. Riker Evans will be there. You can always call him back.
And I think Schultz is the better player right now. But like you asked Axtell about, you still got to think about the long-term future of Riker, and that's why he probably got some starts. You know, Schultz is on the last year of his deal. Like, this could play out where they actually do deal him, and then Riker's ready to come back up. Not saying that's how it happens, but that's certainly a scenario that's a pretty good chance of happening. But yeah, I think you guys said it all. So,
all right.
Yeah.
And then interestingly, they also, as long as they're sending D away, they also sent off Jacob Magna. They put him on waivers, and then he got claimed by Chicago. So doesn't play a single minute for the Kraken this season. Spent the entire, first half plus of the season scratched every game,
isn't it crazy that Chicago was like, this guy hasn't played all year, but we'll claim him.
I mean, he's a legit NHL defenseman, right?
Like, have you seen Chicago's defensive analytics? They could
no,
use a defenseman.
I do not spend my time.
I feel like that's a
looking,
shirt. Have you seen their analytics?
I would recommend it. Well, not maybe wear some sunglasses. It's not good.
But that would imply they were bright.
It's bright red, in the hockey viz.
In the heat zones or whatever.
Yeah.
In the heat map.
Good job.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
Heat map.
But
there was a moment before we started recording where I just realized that I was surrounded by three stat people all staring back at me.
Nerds,
and I was
nerds.
Uh-oh, this could be a long night.
I mean,
and
it's going well
behold,
so far.
It's going to be a long
it's
night.
It's going okay so far. Yeah. I mean, the Magna waiver, I mean, it kind of underscores Riker Evans certainly established that he's the seventh on the depth chart. I mean, Magna wasn't going to play over Evans. So, I mean, that probably factored into this too.
And good for him. What a diligent player. He always had a smile on his face in the room. He was always upbeat. And I wish him and his family well. And may he play well and often and do great things.
Yeah.
What's
well said.
It's crazy is at the Winter Classic family skate.
Yeah.
You know, I saw him out there with his kids. And then that's what I thought of when he got claimed or when he got put on waivers first. It's just like, man, there's a family that's impacted by this. It's crazy. And they were little, right?
Three little ones.
Yeah. So... I don't know. I mean,
to be fair, pretty good gig if he can get it, you know.
I mean,
he
signs up
money.
For right. These players sign up for this, right?
But it doesn't make it any easier when you have to
move
a family literally across the country. And I'm sure they've been dealing with him wanting to play and not being, he went to Coachella for a couple games. So this hasn't been, everyone wants to be able to show their own best and he hasn't had that opportunity. So
yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
I thought it was somewhat nice that he stayed through the Winter Classic. In a way, right? Even that, I don't know if that was a factor at all.
It feels intentional to me. I mean, the waving him after that when there's no game for a few days, it feels like they wanted him to have that experience.
Yeah. And because he's been a
good member of the organization. Yeah.
One thing to factor into is when all these players started getting hurt kind of at the same time, they put guys in IR and whatnot. They also brought in Tomáš Tatar, right? So there's some additional money against the salary caps. They were for a while, and I know, Curtis, you're obviously our cap guy, but they were able to kind of get by, right? Because they had so many guys they could put on IR. They put Schwartz on LTIR for a bit, you know. So they were able to get by, but they were pushing the limits a little bit. Now that Burakovsky's back, you imagine Schwartz is coming back in the next couple of games based on what we've seen at practice. They're getting up against it, right? Am I right on that?
Yeah, so my read on it is they could bring Schwartz back now off LTIR without having to make any other moves. Mm-hmm. They could do that now. And then, you know, moving forward from there, they still have some options. It seems like Belmar will be out for a few more weeks. We saw him on crutches at the Winter Classic, so it doesn't seem like he's particularly close.
Let's be clear here, right? Those guys count against the cap. The only person that gets cap relief is Schwartz.
Yeah, correct. But so they could bring Schwartz back. Then they would be pretty close against the cap. They still have some accrued cap space. But I'm saying if they needed to make a move in the short term, you could put Belmar on LTIR if you needed to.
Enough. But it's not much.
It's not much, but it could get you a player from the AHL.
And Drieger still.
But that's the big one, right? I think it's when the goalie situation sorts itself out, then they'll have the cap space to make the moves they need.
Okay. Right, because Grubauer still is hitting against the cap because he's on regular IR, not LTIR.
Correct. Yeah. So they have three goalies counting full against the cap right now. If you recall, when Drieger was down with Coachella, they were able to bury a little over $1 million of his cap hit.
What were they doing with it?
They were burying it or burying it. Yeah. Do you prefer that?
Yes. The proper pronunciation is what we prefer. Yes.
I didn't know. Was that like a mix-up or was that a main thing?
A
like,
burying?
Is that how you say it?
I don't know. I feel like bury. No, I don't know. We'll have to look it up. Do one of those where you're from quizzes.
They buried.
That's buried. Well, like buried? Okay. All right. We'll go with buried. A raspberry.
Yeah.
Like okay, there's raspberried.
You're right though. The spelling of it would indicate bury, but I've never in my life heard somebody say buried.
Well, in any event, but John is right. Once the three goaltender situation is sorted out, then the cap should kind of sort itself out too.
This is compelling radio.
Well, let's go down on the farm. Moo. I don't know if it's really a down on the farm because we're not really talking about like the Kraken org.
I want you to just read this exactly as it is.
But you know what? Here's my thing. You guys can all help me with this, okay? Canada.
Out.
Latvia.
Out.
Slovakia.
Out.
Switzerland.
Out.
United States.
In.
Czechia.
In.
Sweden.
In.
Finland.
In.
As far as we know.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, by the time this posts, we'll be past the semifinals, so this may not be the best WJC update that you're going to get. But WJC update, Canada lost. Canada, you know, feel bad for Carson Rakoff and not really Jagr Furst because he was there at the end, but he wasn't really.
Didn't get a
and
game.
Ty Nelson.
Ty Nelson. Yep. Feel for Ty Nelson, of course. But Canada's out!
Wow.
How about that, huh?
Rakoff looked pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Canada, obviously it's going to. Team Canada receives the most attention in any World Juniors, and they received a lot of criticism this year for how they constructed their team. Don't know
this
if it was the right
did,
or wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
a little bit.
Crazy.
Yeah, but not sure if it was right or wrong. But yeah, they're out.
They're out. So
they were the betting out. One of the betting favorites going in, even though you kind of talked to the sharp folks and they thought Sweden or the U.S. But which are both still around. Sweden by the skin of its teeth. There seemed like Switzerland gave them all they could handle there for a little bit.
By the hair of its Swedish meatballs. they got very lucky. I haven't watched much WJC with everything that's been happening locally here, but and also the fact that it's on at 6 in the morning some of these days, but I did watch that Sweden game against Switzerland, and they got very lucky. They had two penalty calls go their way from like under 3 minutes through overtime. Right? Didn't they have one in like the last couple minutes in addition to that terrible call in overtime?
They
which
did.
Ultimately cost them the game.
Yeah,
so.
It has the World Juniors feeling of like, you know, the home playoff game where the crowd gets really tense. Like World Juniors has that like times 10. Like you can kind of feel the home team tensing up like in if they're tied late.
And especially in that scenario, you're a favorite of the whole thing.
Yep.
You're the home team and you're playing against a team that has no business being on the theoretically no business being on the ice with you, and you're going to overtime. I mean, that's a stressy feeling, I'm sure.
And Sweden carries a lot of baggage when it comes to kind of international play too. Mm. So
did you say it's stressy?
Yeah. Stressy.
It can get stressy. No, you don't like it?
Just that's new. Okay. Yeah.
Got to bury the stress.
Yeah, we innovate down here.
Gotta bury the stress.
Gotta bury that stress. as long as we're talking, okay, well, let's not go too deep here into WJC because we're going to be a day late and a dollar short on our analysis here, but because there's more games coming up in the very near future because they start at 6 in the morning for some reason. Seattle.
It's in Sweden.
I know. Some reason, and that's the reason.
I love their morning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Seattle is not getting the World Junior Championship for next year.
Boo.
Can you confirm, John?
2 years from now, but yeah.
2 years, sorry.
Yeah.
Where are they next year?
Ottawa, Montreal,
right?
Or some Ottawa, maybe.
Maybe it's Ottawa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Canada.
I think I've seen
Eastern
that
Canada
ad.
Yeah.
So 2 years from now, Seattle had put in a bid for it.
Yeah, and they were the finalists with Minnesota.
Okay.
And
wow, so they came down to one of two.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer.
I actually ran into USA hockey representatives like 3 months ago at KCI, and it just didn't work out. There's a lot of things in play, a lot of variables. And I think Seattle would make a great spot because OVG has a relationship with Everett Arena. Is it still Angel of the Winds?
Yeah. One angel, two winds.
That's right. and I think the proximity to Vancouver would have been perfect.
Yeah.
I just think you would add a lot of Canadians traveling down for the Canadian games. And
I don't know. You tell me, John. I'm hopeful, at least, that they got this close. It means there's some potential for a future down the road where Seattle gets it. What do you think?
I just can't. I don't know, right? Because, yeah. I mean, we've heard Pittsburgh. We've heard Tampa wanting to do something like this. So it's Tampa seems to kind of corner the Frozen Four a bit. I think World Juniors makes more sense than a Frozen Four. I don't know what your take is.
To do it here, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too, because you're cashing in on the, like, realistically, the only people that really care, and I mean, there's some Americans,
yeah,
but the only people that really care about this thing are Canadians, right?
The, like, World Juniors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And will fill an arena are Canadians.
But Frozen Four, like, I just don't see people traveling here for Frozen Four.
No, but the point I was going to make there is that it's interesting that they ended up going with Minnesota, because, like, I know Minnesota shares a border, but there's no cities there, right? Like going straight north from, it's not, you can't just drive. Like it's not like Vancouver
to Seattle.
It's
only 8 hours to Winnipeg.
To Winnipeg.
we've established this.
Like we've talked about this. I mean, it's, there's nothing
friend,
up
a
there.
A friend of mine drove.
Yeah, we heard.
In December.
Yeah. Anyway.
They were this close to agreeing to have it here, and then they said this guy was stalking us all over Climate Pledge Arena.
I mean, doesn't it sound exciting to go to Minnesota?
Was it John?
Minnesota.
It was the full circle joke. Yeah, he ran into them at the...
Yeah.
It's at KCI, not Climate Pledge.
Oh, whatever.
Okay. But what could be better? Minnesota in late December, right? Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we in Seattle really have like a strong...
Fair enough.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if people want to go to Seattle in December either, so...
Would you go?
If in Minnesota?
If it is in Minnesota, which it will be.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Might as well, right?
I'm usually there around the holidays anyway, so maybe I'll stay a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll all go stay with the Browns.
There we go.
There we go.
There you go.
That would be... All right. Mom and Dad and Adam.
Get it off with your brother in the last episode.
Let's be sure to put it on the calendar that you're going to be hosting the entire Sound of Hockey podcast.
That's a soft maybe.
To start 2025.
Steven agrees.
Oh, good.
Let's go ahead and get to our quick hit mini interviews with Joey Decord, Yanni Gord, and Tomáš Tatar. They're separated by little skate sounds, but I didn't really introduce Yanni Gord. I'm hoping you'll be able to figure out which one he is based on his French accent. Again, Joey and Yanni were before the Winter Classic. Tomáš Tatar was after practice on Wednesday. Here they are, Joey, Yanni, Tomáš.
All right, we're chatting with our good buddy here, Joey Decord. Joey's got a pretty big thing happening tomorrow here with the Winter Classic.
coming up. What are your thoughts so far? You guys were out on the ice this morning for practice. You had family, girlfriend. Well, who'd you have out there? Just Lexi, right?
No, my parents, my brother, Lexi, and my girlfriend Lexi and her parents.
So the whole crew, how special was that?
It was amazing just to get to share that experience with them. And I think they were just taking it all in, and I was trying to take it all in. And I think we maxed out our iPhone storage on pictures, but it was a lot of fun and memories for life for sure.
You haven't participated in anything like this at any level before, right?
No, I haven't played an outdoor game.
So, I mean, what does that, like, how do you prepare for that? Is anything at all different for you just going into tomorrow?
I think you kind of know that the routine and the schedule is all going to be a little bit different than normal, so you're kind of mentally preparing for that. And then at the same time, I think you try to stick to your routine as much as you can. And... you know, within the constraints that you're allowed, basically. So it's going to be a unique day. The schedule is going to be all different than normal, but try to stick to my routine as much as possible.
So, you know, we chatted with your guy Shifty recently. He told us that the Davy Jones on the mask isn't on the mask because... Okay, Davy Jones isn't on the mask because you're just not a big fan of Davy Jones. What do you have against Davy Jones?
When I was a kid, he scared me, so... I think he's a cool character now, but I don't want him on my mask because he used to give me nightmares when I was little from watching those movies.
All right. Thank you for your time. I'm getting the boot, so appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow.
No worries. Thank you.
Just general thoughts from that out there. How'd that feel?
It was a lot of fun. It reminded me of memories of growing up and playing outdoor and having the sun on in your face and the cold breeze in your so it's like just down memory lane. It was fun, and it's the ice was good. It felt good out there.
Yeah. And sometimes I think some of that stuff gets like almost cliche, right? Where it's like, oh, like growing up on the rink and all that. It does actually have that feel, though.
Oh, absolutely.
It?
Yeah. Like we don't get to play outside anymore as much as we did in the past. Growing up, I was literally every single day I was out there on the outdoor rink during the winter. So I haven't done that in a while. So it's definitely cool.
What are your thoughts on the setup that they've done here? You know, T-Mobile Park, all the set pieces that they have out there, just how it all looks.
Yeah, it's beautiful. They did an amazing job. This locker room, this everything out there, it's remarkable, and it's crazy to think that they made a nice surface on the field and looked the way it looks. So it's exciting.
We are in the Kraken locker room with Tomáš Tatar, new acquisition for the Seattle Kraken. Tomáš, take me through what these last couple weeks have been like for you. I assume it's been a little bit of a whirlwind joining a brand new team, jumping in on the top line. What's it all been like for you?
Yeah, it wasn't easy, you know, especially at the start. Fatigue, you know, kicked in, you know, with a lot of travel, you know, moving parts. But, you know, these guys in the locker room as a team organization made it a lot easier on me. You know, they were helpful with everything and helped me settle pretty fast. You know, first few games, you know, right away, you know, started learning the system, and you know, at this point I'm feeling, you know, very comfy, you know, feels like home, and I'm just enjoying the process.
Is it kind of weird to parachute in right as the team's getting ready for the Winter Classic? And I mean, and plus there was like the weird, like the 8-game losing streak, and it turns around and turns into, I mean, it's been an interesting time for this team for you to drop in.
Yeah, you know, like you said, the winning part is obviously making everything a little easier than maybe what it would be if it would be opposite. But, you know, that was my goal. You know, I came here and I wanted to help as much as I can, you know, to do the, you know, pick up a lot of points, you know, for a team so we can do the playoff push. And I think so far we're doing a great job. I mean, obviously, there's still a lot of room to improve. But, you know, we're working hard and we're eager, you know, to work hard every day. And, you know, as the season will go, there's going to be more games, it's going to be tougher and tougher, but we are up to the challenge. Winter Classic, obviously, I was very excited to find out, or I knew, like, but, you know, when you were traded here, that I'm going to be playing an event like that. But as the trade happened, there was so much stuff, you know, going on. That was, like, probably the last thing on my mind all the way until, let's say, 28th, 29th December, you know, when you start to realize, you know, there's this event upcoming, and then, you know, started soaking it in.
What was your favorite, do you have a favorite moment from the day that that you're going to look back on years from now, you think?
Here?
Winter Classic.
Winter Classic. It's just the win, you know. Obviously, when the game ends,
like Anthem, you know, it was very, very good. You know, it was just, you could just tell the atmosphere and the electricity of the stadium. You know, it was awesome. And after the game, you know, enjoyed with the boys, you know, in the locker room, just a good feeling, you know, happy feelings, obviously, to start the new year like that.
What did you think about the fish flying over your head as you walked onto the ice?
I'll be honest, I was worried it's going to hit me. It wasn't that big of a gap between us and the fish, but I think they did a good job, you know, it didn't happen, but I was a little afraid of it, to be honest.
Yeah, there was some expert fish throwers for sure. Last one for you, and thank you so much for your time. Tell me about your nickname, Tuna.
It started in Detroit, you know, obviously the last name Tartar, the appetizer Tuna, you know, it was pretty funny at first, and it catched up, you know, around the league, and I think at this point it's pretty normal, you know, I'm reacting to it like my favorite nickname or like a part of my personality.
It's a great nickname. Thank you so much. Congrats on the success. Congrats on the win at the Winter Classic. Welcome to Seattle.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you to that trio of players for joining me on the podcast. I hope you guys got a little bit of like insight in terms of, you know, the feeling around the team going into the World Classic. I think, you know, Joey and Yanni both sounded pretty genuine in their excitement. And I know that none of the rest of you have actually heard this yet. So that's just me talking. Let's move on to our segments.
I heard it, actually.
Our first segment is John's favorite segment.
Bad Boys?
No. Goalie Gear Corner!
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew.
We don't need that. It gets,
we do. I want it.
It gets post-edited to add that air horn in, but I did appreciate...
Oh, it's an air horn.
It's an air horn.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I'm excited about this Goalie Gear Corner, actually.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. I just thought it was a funny noise.
Okay. So Alish Stezka has dropped a new mask, and this one's pretty cool. Dave Art does it. It's a very... you know, very common mask painter around the professional leagues. But he kind of split it up. So on one half, it's a really mean-looking Kraken logo with an anchor at the bottom. And on the other side, it's the Coachella Valley Firebirds Firebird. So I like that it's got both of his bases covered. But how would you describe this? Is it like a icy look almost, right? Chris,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
nodding.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, the Firebird is in ice colors.
Right.
Definitely an icy vibe. Maybe a little bit of like a static electricity type of vibe on the Kraken side.
Static electricity.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like it. This is a top five Kraken affiliated mask for me, I think.
Top five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top five of all
We've
time.
Only had three. Yeah. Yeah. All time. All 3 years. what's the top one?
We should
Darren?
Probably think about that.
Yeah.
Top
have a draft.
One.
Should we save it for a Patreon?
Maybe. Top goalie mask.
That's exclusive content.
Yeah.
I really liked Grubauer's Native American.
I did too.
That one was five. Awesome.
And I'm trying to remember Magnus Helberg's. Wasn't his.
Oh, that was good.
His mask was.
His pads were sweet.
His pads were incredible. His mask was like pretty good, but it was a pretty like logo heavy.
What's your favorite, Darren? As our Goalie Gear Corner expert.
Yeah, right now. Well, maybe the baseball. I mean, the baseball card mask was really cool.
Pretty good.
That's probably a recency bias, though. I'll think about it.
Joey's mask that was released over the summer never got, as far as I know, never got worn in a game.
Was that the
shadow one or the nighttime one?
Uh huh.
So.
Oh yeah,
that's one of my
favorites. He wore that in practice a little bit, maybe like training camp or something. It seemed a little too dark to kind of make out what was going on.
It had the shadow of David.
It looked
Jones.
Cool though. Yeah.
I think I also quick cred to Martin Jones last year. I thought that was a little unique and different. It was the most unique.
He had like some hockey history type stuff, I think, right?
It was like really white.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. I'm thinking of that now. I lost my train of thought.
Draft.
This is your bi-week articles ranking the masks all time.
Yeah,
that's
power rankings
right
of goalie masks.
You can do tiers.
Kraken goalie masks.
You can
idea.
Do tiers.
Kraken affiliated.
All right.
Masks.
Yep. I just want it to be known that now, if somebody else writes this before the bye week, you heard it here first, folks. So I just hope that I'm credited. We now move on to You Don't See That Every Day. And
wait.
Oh, go ahead.
I can't.
Oh, dang.
Oh, you can't.
I was hoping.
It's a whistle. Although I do know if you've like lost your voice, I do get the sense that, and mine's starting to get a little gravelly. Do you hear that?
I do, yeah.
I do get the sense that whistling is really bad if you're trying to get your voice back. I've heard that.
That's why I didn't do it.
Right, yeah.
I approximated.
Let's see if I can manage it.
She wanted to. Oh, that's pretty good.
You guys do know that that sound effect that was a recording. Is actually me yeah. whistling, yeah. but it's a recording of me whistling. Did you know that?
I did.
Oh. Drop my phone. All right, so this, you don't see that every day, yeah. is it's a play in the Canucks versus Senators game, which is the Kraken's next opponent. So this happened on January 2nd. Nils Höglander was behind the net. He tried for the Trevor Zegras, throw it over the net, and I don't know, I guess he was just like hoping that it would magically bounce backwards and go in the net, because there's nobody there.
Somebody's there.
Can we hit play, or is this a GIF, or is it going to make sound?
What?
I haven't seen it. Can I hit play?
Oh, you can. Yeah, you can press. Well, I don't want to make, press the know. Link. You know, maybe. Oh turn
no!
Your
see,
sound
there's
up.
Sound. See, I can't.
Oh, that's fine.
Hold on. Here we go.
Okay, so here's Nils Höglander.
Oh yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, P.S. Suter is.
What are you doing?
He's kind of coming in, right? But I don't know. I mean, good read by the defenseman there to just catch
What's
it
he,
and throw
it
away.
That's just not good.
It's a man that's out of ideas. But. Anyway, you don't see that every day. The old,
it's full of hope.
Mm-hmm,
it's full of hope.
Flip up and over. Let's check in our weekly wager from last week. John had picked Matty Beniers, Curtis had picked Oliver Bjorkstrand, and I had picked Jared McCann as players that would score in the Winter Classic, none of whom scored goals. So we're on to a new thing for this week. And what's our situation with the pot?
You owe me three, so now... You both owe me three.
Okay. Sure. Yep.
And
this was
$2.
A restart. So the next one is $2. Oh. Yep.
And the pot just gets bigger.
It just carries over. Yeah.
Okay.
We're making it up as we go.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So it's like Powerball.
Yeah. So what's our new? Do you want to get in on this one, Allison?
Well, I won't be here. Oh. It depends on what the wager is, and I'll tell you.
Well,
that's fair.
We didn't really talk about what the wager would be.
Oopsie daisy.
There's really like two games between
Oopsie
now
daisies.
And then.
There's only two games.
Yeah, there's only two games.
Let's go most goals by one player over the next two games.
Goals only, right?
Goals scored.
All right, I think Allison has to participate. And as a
guest,
I don't
know if I'm allowed to wager on the team.
Okay, you are just playing for funsies.
I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover you, Allison.
No,
I think that's anything.
That's betting by proxy. We know that's not allowed either.
Okay.
She's just...
How about this one's just not worth any money?
But then you guys lose if you win.
All lose by playing
$1,
this game.
Our $1 is in. If you win, it carries over.
Okay. So...
as far as everybody knows.
I'm going to go with Eli Tolvanen because I think he's a streaky player and he just scored in the Winter Classic and I think he's going to start playing with some real confidence.
I thought we were going to let Allison go first.
No, it's fine. No. Go ahead.
You can go second. Allison can go second.
No, I'm not going to. No. John,
right,
you go
John?
Next.
No, I'm not going until you go.
Curtis. It's like a Midwestern buffet. Nobody wants to go get food.
It really is.
They put the food out. They want you to get the food. Go get the food.
Why do they do that? Is it
because no one wants to be rude?
Okay.
But the food is out for you to go get it. That's why I'm always first in the buffet line. I have no problem being first in the buffet line.
That's the only reason.
Okay. Remember CHAC? Remember? I was first in line at the CHAC
buffet.
I'm
proud of you. Thank you.
Oh.
And then...
That line got long.
I know.
It did get long.
And I had food right away, and I looked, and there's a line like out the door and down the block. And I'm like,
hacks.
I bet you guys wish that you had just gotten in line right away. Anyway, Curtis, who's your pick?
So one of the three stats dweebs here. I was looking, and Oliver Bjorkstrand was only credited with one shot in the Winter Classic, which, from my perspective, I don't know. It's hard to tell. What's
on
goal and not?
On net.
Net. But he seemed really active to me. He was my guest last time. I'm going to stick with it. He's looking good to me right now.
Okay. I mean, that line is cooking.
Sure.
They're playing really well again.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm not going to lie. I was contemplating Bjorkstrand, but I'm just going to go like whack-a-doodle. And I'm going to say.
Why not close out the whole line? Take Yanni Gourde.
No.
Okay.
I am going to say Vince Dunn.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I a like
good
one. That.
Good
yeah.
pick. He's playing real well. John?
I'm going to go with Jared McCann.
Mm-hmm.
He's due.
See, I had him on the previous wager, so now I'm. That's one of those.
Did someone write this down?
No, we don't write it down. We just try to remember.
Okay.
I remember it. These guys don't. Yeah.
We now move on to actually John Sig's favorite segment, which is Bad Boys.
Wee wee wee.
What is that? What is that?
That's the whole.
No, I know what you were saying, but what? Was it because the ambulance or the cops are coming to get the bad boys?
Yeah.
It's like bad boys.
So this is an interesting one. So
we gotta record that sound by Kirill, I'm also doing that.
Kirill Kaprizov had a, because we haven't talked about him in at least a week. So Kirill Kaprizov did a reverse hit on Brendan Dillon. Brendan Dillon was like given a bunch of whacks. So Kaprizov gets the puck. He does the reverse hit, sends Dillon flying. Dillon gets back up and cross checks him like five times and finally catches him in a spot that hurts him. And now Kaprizov is actually out hurt. In response to that, Ryan Hartman takes a face-off and high sticks Cole Perfetti right in the face. And he was then, Perfetti was asked after the game, like, hey, what did he, you know, what happened there? And he's like, yeah, he told me that he did it on purpose, which, okay.
He said, don't take it personal. Yeah. But somebody's going to have to pay. It's going to be you.
And I'm going to just hit you in the face with my stick really hard. So I don't know. So Hartman only gets a fine out of it because I guess and he was mic'd up. Perfetti was also mic'd up, but that cannot be used against him in the decision process, apparently, whatever. But then, yeah, so he just gets fined $4,400 for intentionally hitting a guy in the face.
It was vicious.
It was pretty nasty.
That's disgusting. I sometimes don't understand how people can take a stick to somebody else's face. Seems insane. And we've talked about that a couple times this season. So,
any other? No? Okay. We now move on to our... Oh,
listen,
you ready
to
for
Jen
this?
Botterill. She said good things about that.
Okay.
She usually does. She's,
yes, that's right. She's fantastic. Yeah.
John, do you want to turn your sign on?
Yeah, hold on.
Oh.
John now has a neon whoopsh, sign. Uh-oh, did it break?
The compelling. Does it go to sleep, maybe?
You got to plug it in.
Oh!
Oh, there it is. And it's blinking. All right, are we ready? It's time for our weekly, who's doing it? Our weekly, one-timers. Oof. Our first weekly
it's
one-timer.
Better than Piper, that's for sure.
Our first weekly one-timer.
The
PWHL is officially underway.
At least I try.
You did.
I love it. Piper did too.
Fantastic. The PWHL is officially underway. I think early returns are quite good. There's been a ton of energy. They've gotten great attendance at these games. It's been very physical, it seems. They're not really calling penalties for checking each other, which is interesting. Because I think officially, like they're still not allowed to body check.
It's just
correct.
It's open ice checks.
You can use the body.
Yeah.
You just can't hit for hits.
But these
sake.
Have been hits. Some of the.
But I and we've talked about this, and you guys talk about this. I mean, if you go to a top tier college game.
Yeah.
Played by the top women's teams, they're going to be physical.
100%.
I don't think this is a huge step from what you're seeing at places like the Ohio State University.
Did you just use the?
I didn't emphasize
she did.
It.
She did.
I didn't emphasize it. I'm not that jerk.
Okay.
At Ohio State.
So, just accurate. So, but what are your...
Coached by Nadine Muzzerl.
What are you guys' thoughts, though, on how it's been going so far? Is that an accurate assessment? Like, it feels like it's off to a really good start, all things considered.
Yes, but it better be, right? Because it's always going to start really well because there's a lot of hype around it. Yeah. So there's been three games so far. Games have been in Toronto, Ottawa, and Boston. The visiting teams won all of them. Interesting. The Ottawa game specifically was Montreal versus Ottawa, and there was over 8,000 people there. That's
and it was jam-packed. Like it was at capacity.
That's the high attendance. The others are limited capacity. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, I think it's great. I'm still disappointed there's no like real TV deal. You can watch these games on YouTube, which is great for fans, but in the US they don't really have a TV deal. They have regional TV deals. Mm. And the reason why that is a little concerning is cuz there's means there's a lack of money coming in for the US market. And to me the TV market in the US is kind of important and if you want to grow the game. But slight get off my lawn is they tend to disrespect the PHF and the NWHL that came before and act like this is the first professional league in North America, which is not accurate because a lot of these, well, not these players, but there have been players making money and there's been fans going to games and supporting teams for years. We'll have to see how sustainable it is. I think this is going to be a successful league. They've got a lot of funding around it, but they still need to kind of think a little bit beyond prioritizing Canada, and that tends to be what they're doing right now.
But do we know that the reason it's not on TV is like, because I paid for Twitch to watch the NWHL, which was a little bit prohibitive too. So perhaps this is an outreach effort strategically for access versus it was a little bit harder to access the previous league's games if you were not physically there.
I think that's fair. And the production value is
elite.
Way better than Twitch, right? And anything that NWHL did or that BHF did. So I agree. It just feels a little rushed.
Like, sure.
So I don't know for sure, but because they do have like these regional TV deals where mm-hmm. they're in market. Like I think Boston has a TV deal and I think they announced Minnesota's this week or something like that. So we don't know, but the production value on YouTube is really good. So it's actually an upgrade as far as viewing experience for sure. So all right. We'll keep an eye on it.
I mean, check it out. Watch.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
And there's great resources online. There's Erica Ayala. There's the Ice Garden. There's Victory Press. Shayna Goldman's doing a great job. Like
Shayna.
Check it.
Doesn't she have her own podcast?
She does. No one listens to that though. But
that's what I've been told.
So the people are saying.
Yeah.
The streets are saying. But no, like, and I say this all the time, like, this is a great level of the game to learn more about the game. And we were talking about learning systems. The women's game historically will be more progressive in how they play. So I think it's a really interesting place to watch where new things are tried before they might take a foothold in the men's game proper. I think it's a great access point, no matter how much you are already following hockey.
And just to underscore what John said, from sitting in Seattle, or if you're not in one of these markets, if you're in the United States, you can just go to their YouTube channel and watch these games. It might not be sustainable long term, but for the short term, it's really easy to get in the door. So I watched a fair amount of the Boston-Minnesota game today, which was dreadful because Minnesota prevailed. Mm. But that's neither here nor there.
Tough break for you guys. our final weekly one-timer. That was a long first weekly one-timer. So this is our second and final weekly one-timer. Max Pacioretty is back and playing, so the Kraken are going to see him very soon when they take on the Washington Capitals. But this is interesting because he tore his Achilles twice. I don't know if you all remember this, but this was a tough one, right? He came back, re-tore his Achilles. This was about a year ago now. January 19th is when it happened. So it's good to see him back in the game. And, that's a tough one to come back from. So especially when it's happened two times.
Yeah, it stinks.
Okay. Yeah. Very good, John. Yeah. Good analysis.
Yeah.
Those are our weekly one-timers.
That was a good one.
You know what just occurred to me, Allison? When we went around and I did the, like, with, John and Curtis, and these are our Twitters. Did we do that with
no,
you? Or I skipped you.
You did.
How did I do that?
We come second.
No. That's not right. And
it's just not part of our routine. And so
yeah,
I think it's hard.
But
it's
I think
fine.
We got derailed.
It's
I think
okay.
some derailing happened.
It's
there.
Okay.
Okay.
But she's Allison L on the Twitter.
Yeah.
On the Twitter.
Where else can people find you? You do work in a lot of different places.
I write on the Kraken website, and I have a podcast with Shayna Goldman and Sarah Sivian called The Too Many Men Podcast.
I thought we weren't going to talk about this. Wait, aren't you on TV too?
I'm also on TV.
Yeah.
We'd love for you to check that out. And when I'm on the road in particular, but pretty much all the time anyway, I'm part of hashtag the Piper and Allison experience. Yeah.
Sounds,
with Piper Shaw, friend
sounds,
of the pod.
Sounds sketchy. I was thinking about this the other day. Allison L is like such a great Twitter handle. Like,
and it's basically because I was completely uncreative. I was like, here's my name, here's my last initial.
It's very early.
Very
right?
early.
Yeah.
Seems like
I joined Twitter to talk
been...
about the TV show Lost. Remember the TV show
yeah,
Lost?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I joined Twitter. Let's see how long ago it was. Hold on.
That is a
well,
very
Lost
good reason
was,
to join Twitter.
Lost yeah. was over 20 prior
that was
to
when I was,
Twitter's lifetime.
Yeah, it was around the same introduction.
I think
I joined in November of 2007.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think Lost debuted before that.
Uh-huh.
So that was like season 3. Hmm.
But yeah, that's a good point, though. Allison L. It seems like mm-hmm. that one
I was
should
thinking
have been,
about that the other day
should have been taken.
Reason.
Yeah.
Should
yeah.
this just become a Lost podcast?
And it's one L.
Should we just
L.
change
it is
it
one
to,
L. Well, two L's,
Lost.
But one.
Yeah, one.
Because it's
not,
not Allison.
Next to each other.
It's
yeah.
Allison.
Mm. We close the show with our tweets of the week. Allison, do you have a tweet of the week?
I have two.
Oh, tweets.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Okay.
But I'll pick this one, and I'm going to credit Twitter user Hannah Kirkle. I apologize if I'm saying that incorrectly, at @H_Kirk6. And her tweet is, I'd like to report a murder.
And it's
a screen cap of this interaction. Our beloved favorite mascot, Bowie, tweets out, don't hide from me tonight, Biz Nasty. Paul Bissonnette, who is Biz Nasty, quote tweets this and says, on my way to Seattle as we speak, you mutant. I'm going to take over your city, you ugly SOB. Just watch. Colby Armstrong, also of the TNT show, says, Bowie opened the wrong door, owned this clown in his own town, biz. And Bowie responds, prepare to be blindsided just like your trade to Atlanta.
Oh, my God. And that was so good.
And that was it.
That was so good.
So this whole thing, like, I feel conflicted about it because it's kind of funny.
It's funny.
I will admit it's pretty funny. I also, though, like, he put all of his body weight down on Bowie. Like, Bowie is okay.
Right. I can confirm.
All right. That's good. That looks bad. It looks pretty bad.
Yeah, I agree.
Good tweet of the week. Do you want to do your other one also?
Well, sure. This one I found courtesy of Lillian at Lil_Halfley.
Okay.
This is also a screen cap. And this is more relevant. What a great time to bring up one of my favorite Adam Larson moments, because Connor McDavid recently got to the 900-point threshold. And she screen caps an Adam Larson tweet from April 2017. Adam Larson is not necessarily active on the socials. Mm-hmm. Congrats at Connor McDavid on 100 points. Credit to Adam Larson for using the 100 emoji. That's mm-hmm. nice. Doing it in one season is beyond impressive. Applause emoji. Random Jacob person says, you don't even have that in your career. Heart emoji. Adam Larson responds with, no sh-.
Okay.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it was. It was really good. I saw that. That was amazing.
John, your tweet of the week.
You didn't find him near as funny
no,
as
no, it was good. I liked it. Yeah, it was good. John?
So.
You with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
So Sunday, December 31st, the day before the Winter Classic, I post a photo. It says, got to hang out with the best friend of the Sound of Hockey pod, Allison L., today. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. And CC Darren Brown.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, really cool. Kyle Johnson responds with, you two could have at least stood up.
She is taller than us.
So, yeah.
And we're I did not have heels. Was in heels.
He murdered us, right?
I was in heels. So,
we aren't anyway. Tall people,
I thought that was,
per se.
That was pretty funny. It made me laugh. So,
Curtis?
All right. Mine's from Amanda Stein, who's the New Jersey team reporter. If you're on Twitter, you might know her because she does the impeccable handwriting mm-hmm. lineups for mm-hmm. every New Jersey game. It's mesmerizing to look at. Anyway, talking about an injury for Timo Meier. So she says, it's a new injury for Timo Meier. Quote, kind of a medium body injury, Lindy Ruff says. Not a re-aggravation of a previous injury. I just kind of like that description. You've heard of upper body, lower body. Now we have kind of medium body
kind
injuries.
Of medium body.
This is your NHL injury report.
What do you think that is? Like, what constitutes the medium body?
I think it's just like the torso, trunk area of the body. There's mm-hmm. just something going wrong in there.
You have a theory.
Yeah. Mine's probably more like, the Swedish meatballs kind of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. You're big on the meatballs today.
It's just, it's a full circle joke.
Hitting the junk or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My tweet of the week comes from Devin Setaguchi. It's a tweet from San Jose Sharks history that said, happy 37th birthday to San Jose Sharks alumni forward and 2005 first round draftee, Devin Setaguchi. And Devin Setaguchi retweeted that and said, stop putting my age in these tweets.
Relatable.
Like that. As a 30-something-year-old, I could appreciate that as well. So I guess that's our show. Thanks, Allison, for being here.
Thanks.
That was fun.
Thanks for having me. You guys do a great job, and I do listen to every episode and read every article.
Thank you.
And let you know if there's a typo.
Yeah,
I know.
But no, you guys do great work, and it's really awesome to be a part of it. So thank you for having me.
We appreciate you very much. You're our best friend for a reason.
Yes.
John, you want to take over from here?
Oh. Well, the reason is because you've been on the most. That's it. Strictly analytical.
Whoa.
Oh,
okay. Come on.
Wow, all right. This is going so well.
See? Wow. What about heart, John? What about heart?
I didn't think you could measure it.
You mean the band?
There you go.
You know, I just posted an article that I wrote a few years ago about this, and you should now go read it after we're done.
That wraps up episode 268 of the Sound Hockey. Oh, thank you for Yanni Suffocating Pestilence and THOG for the 5-star reviews. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll read it on the next week's show. Subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/soundofhockey. I don't know what's so funny over there. Stick taps, Andy. We'll talk to you all very soon on episode 269.
Boom, boom.
Cheers.
Boom, boom. Boom. Seattle, jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it. Bounce. Bounce, 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 bounce. Kraken, jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. Thanks, Allison.